I feel like I would love to meet Stanley Tucci, but that's probably it.
Oh, I think he would live up to the hype, to be honest.
I absolutely think that he would live up to the hype.
I just have this weird thing with Stanley Tucci where I just know he smells so good.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? Yeah. Friends by accident.
Podcast hosts on purpose. This is what you get when two Canadian women who come from completely different backgrounds serendipitously meet in a Brooklyn apartment.
This is Accidental Friends with Aline Deggian and Kristen Mandela.
It sure is, folks. We back.
Hello, hello. We are back for another week.
And we're actually in the same country this time.
Hell
we were
yeah.
Kind of gone. I don't know if you saw all of your amazing escapades in España, but
not
it looked incredible.
Much. Yeah, it was amazing. And honestly, now in hindsight, I feel like maybe whenever you're there, we can talk about this as like a podcast episode. A big thing I've been thinking about since I've been back is I always have this idea of like, I want to bring my Europe self back to
Canada. Oh God,
every
time.
But I've
never- It
doesn't
translate.
But, okay, wait, hold me, listen.
Okay, sorry, sorry,
because
sorry, sorry, sorry.
I've tried to figure out what that is. Like, what is it? And I think the difference of my trip this time is that I was actually working there. So I kind of got to see what like a regular day in the life would look like.
Okay.
Granted, I could drive about 45 minutes and be in this like stunning town in the mountains and like the most beautiful streets ever. A little bit different than Toronto in that respect.
Yes.
But there are elements of it that I think I have figured out that I've tried to implement. And today is the first day back at work for me that I'm recording this. And I think it's been a huge help. So I feel like we can make a whole podcast episode about it when you're there, because you will obviously have a much better, you
I'm
know
hoping.
What I mean?
Yeah, like a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm very interested to talk more about it too, because I do think that like most of us, we get caught up in the romanticization of the European life. And then I always see this in the comment sections of social media videos where it's like, me and all my problems in Spain, and it's like a little meme
literally.
From Nancy. And then people are like, wait, but like I have to work my 9-to-5 in Spain. So like what Spain are you? You know what I mean? Like it's not like it just ends up being a place.
Yes.
And I'm excited for that process to occur on my end, because obviously even when I was just in Italy for a wedding, I'm walking around, I'm like, oh my gosh, this lifestyle.
I can
love
live
it.
Here. Yeah.
And I remember Andres being like, okay, but we're on vacation and you just had an espresso and a croissant and we're just walking around with no plans to do all day. So it's like obviously that life agrees with everyone. Like that
yeah,
sounds amazing
but I,
too.
So I had that life plus the work. So
yeah.
I can actually say that it does translate sometimes.
Okay,
and
I do
maybe
like that.
It's the difference of like I'm there working Toronto hours. So it kind of does make a bit of a difference. I don't know how I would feel if I was working there in a 9-to-5 where I didn't get to take
That's
advantage
true.
Of my days. And then I would start work at 3:30 p.m. when like half the town is asleep anyway. So it just didn't really matter. Anyway, that's a whole other episode and I'm super excited to talk about it. But today we are talking about boundaries and therapy. I know. I wish we had like a fun little sound bite or something like that.
Yeah. So. Chloe, can you just edit that in really quick? Edit like the horror sound.
Yeah. Bum, 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 bum.
That, exactly. Thank you so much. We don't need it anymore, actually.
Don't worry.
So,
I got it.
I actually brought up this topic because it's something that's kind of happening in my own life where I recently actually had my last therapy session with my therapist.
Whoa.
Because due to like legal like restraints, she can't continue to see me while I'm out of country just based on like server security, whatever. She can only practice. Her license only is valid for her to practice in Canada and within Ontario. So once I'm gone, I can't see her anymore. When I come back, she said, like, obviously, whenever I'm home, I can book a session with her. But this was my last session with her for the foreseeable future, which was very emotional for me because she is somebody that has seen me through literally like my worst and like my most challenging chapters. Yeah. Her name is Tara and I love her dearly. She has such a real place in my heart because we started seeing each other in August of 2020 and it was really
That's a big time.
It was a tough go. And I remember literally I was barely sleeping at some points because my brain was just racing constantly.
Yeah.
It was just always being filled with these like hypothetical narratives and these conversations, and all of it was incredibly negative and incredibly critical. And I remember just sitting with her on the first session and crying, being like, I just need to turn the voices down. Like, I just need to turn the volume down on all mm-hmm. these critical voices that are living in my brain and turn my authentic voice up, because I can't fucking hear her.
Right.
And right now it's being my self is being ruled by all these critical voices, and it's so mm-hmm. stifling. And so I do think that we were able to do that together, and it was really impactful. But one thing that came up in our last session is just this idea, and she was very sweet. She was like, "Can I call you out for a second?" I'm like, "Sure, you can call me out. Yes, what's going on?" And she's like, "How old are you?" And I'm like, "I'm 31. And she's like, "Okay, so you need to work on saying no to your family, like saying no to your parents, feeling yeah. like even just adults, friends, anyone yeah. in your life. You are a grown ass adult. You are not a kid anymore. Even though my brain is mentally, so I'm still 26, 27, which is when COVID started, funnily enough. And that is kind of yeah. when my brain like kind of stopped thinking of time. But I find myself still being so protective and so guarded with yeah. being able to just say no to people, especially yes. when it comes to my family and my close friends. So I really wanted to talk about it today, because I thought, especially coming from your family relationship, yeah. it'd be so interesting to hear how you navigate that, or if you do at all.
Think,
I don't know.
So I also think there's an element of, I think the fact of saying no to your family, I mean, maybe I don't know if this is like a healthy way of thinking about it. I'm honestly not okay. sure, but I think the element of not being able to say no to your family is also just shows how much you love and deeply care for them.
Okay.
Like, I guess I see it. There's a part of me that sees it like that, of like, well, I don't know. Like
there's nothing that you wouldn't do for them.
No, there's nothing that I wouldn't do for them. There are things that I'm like, okay, no, I don't want to do that. Or like, and they're like little things, obviously. But yeah, I just feel like,
I guess maybe it also, context is important. I think if there were circumstances where the things that were being asked were potentially like crossing a line for you, or they were asking things of you that you did not feel like you had the capacity to do. And that's specifically yeah. what my situation was, where I felt like I don't have the muscle memory. Like, I don't have the capacity of saying no to things that I truly feel like I don't want to do. And it's not like, oh, you got to go pick up your brother from
yeah,
work or it's something not like that. Like, those are favors little, that yes. show gratitude. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about kind of changing dynamics of things, meddling how you have relationships with people, back like bigger things that totally. I don't think are super relevant in your family dynamic at the moment.
No, that's right? It's
like, I feel
not.
Like they don't ask that.
I've never really had to. No, I've had stuff in my family dynamics where I'm kind of like, where you're almost like, okay, I have to like maybe not speak. You know, I have to maybe remove myself from this person or whatever, but it's kind of always been like, I guess in support of one of my family, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it's been support of like,
it wasn't
in support
counter
of
to
an
their
immediate family member, as opposed to,
I see.
It's not like I've ever had to do anything for, set a boundary for an immediate family member. And I'm talking like my parents, my brother, my sister-in-law, like any of that
right.
stuff.
I mean, I think that's great.
So, okay, so if you want to, I don't know how.
I'm flustered because I'm trying to figure out, like, my brain is feeling like I'm in therapy, where I'm trying to figure out how I feel about things. So you ask a question. I have to, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, go into as much or as little detail as you want, I guess, but what are you struggling with?
So I think the baseline of thing that I'm struggling with is that I often feel like, well, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. That's my biggest thing. I'm often preoccupied with how other people are feeling about things and wanting them to not experience uncomfortability, pain, sadness. It comes from a protective thing. But it also really boils down to, it kind of does come from a place of control. Like, I don't want them to, like, I want to be able to control the situation so that everyone's having like kind of a good kind. It's kind of always like a mediator
kind of style,
which makes sense, I think, in my family dynamic. I want people to be okay and I want them to be happy and whatever. And I think sometimes I notice myself like changing how I feel or changing how I answer things to suit the other person, like kind of this mirroring yeah. thing where I'm like, yeah, cool, like that's totally cool, and then I'm like, wait, that's actually like not
cool,
I actually don't love that idea. And even if like, let's just make it something stupid, like going to the movies, and I just like really don't have the time to go to the movies, and I know that they really love going to the movies, I'm like, absolutely, I'm free as a bird, like let's go. And it like that's obviously a high level inconsequential example of that. But sometimes, and we have talked about this theme going through a lot of our episodes of like this self-betrayal where when you do silence yourself and you prioritize other people and you become this people pleaser, it is a self-betrayal because you're not letting your truth – I hate saying stuff like that, but like you're not letting what is true to you come forward and shine. And I just find sometimes I do that for the greater good of the situation or the dynamic because I don't want to cause more strife. And the biggest thing that I had to unpack in therapy over the years that I've done therapy is just feeling like my problems aren't that big of a deal because I see so many people that are suffering and you are just bombarded with all this news all the time. And you're like, what am I complaining about?
Yeah.
My dad said what? My mom said what? My whatever. I have food. I have a shelter. Like, what the hell am I complaining about? And that was a huge thing I had to unwork in my therapy was like, okay, that might be true, but you're here and you obviously need to be here for some reason. So it's actually counterintuitive of you to keep coming on here and watering down these real feelings that you're having. Like you're not getting anywhere. And so I don't even know if any of that answers your question.
I do understand like the self-betrayal aspect of it. And I feel like I feel like I used to do that with, like, I guess everybody in my life. And now I've learned how to do that with my how to not do that, I guess, with my friends.
Okay.
Because I feel like the best version of myself when I am choosing things that, like, feel best for me or whatever it is. Like, maybe saying no to things that I don't want to do or, like, I'm too tired to do or whatever. But I don't have that same thing with my family. Like, it's – I think culturally it's really hard to just be like, yeah, I'm just going to separate. Like I'm 32 years old. I live with my partner. I, for all intents and purposes, it's like we might as well be married. You know what I mean? We might as well be married. Yeah, yeah. Like I am in this relationship. Like this is, but I do still feel that I have that responsibility to my family. And I don't know if I necessarily see it as a bad thing. Because
I guess that's the difference that I wanted to kind of nail on is that I feel as though it's actually limiting my ability to show up for myself because it doesn't feel like it serves me.
Yeah.
This like mediator role that I put on myself, this feeling beholden to my.
I can't imagine that. I don't even know what to say. I guess I'm kind of like, I don't even know what to say about that because I don't know how I would handle that in my family because I think you think about like, and the thing is there's all these jokes about like white people and white families of like,
skits where it's like, you see your white friend go home and talk to his mom in like the most horrifying way possible. And
there's
you're like,
this one comedian, his name is Marcelo. I think he's Marcelo Rodriguez.
Okay.
And he has this whole skit. He's like, I look white, dude. He's like, but I think he's Cuban and Dominican.
Okay.
And he's like, I look white, dude. I look like I go home and I tell my parents to shut up. Like, I look so white.
I love that.
And that's kind of what I always have in my head of like white families of they just have this like, that's fine. Like they could just have this like boundaryless, like, or not even boundaryless, like they are full of boundaries. Like they can say no whenever they want and their parents will just be like, okay, like almost like the WASP mom kind of.
Sure, sweetie, whatever.
Yes. Like,
fuck you, mom.
Yeah.
She's like, okay.
That's no literally problem. What I think. Whereas culturally, like to say no to your parents was just not a thing. And that's like ingrained in you from generation to generation. I've seen my dad, how he treated his mother. I've seen my mom, how she treated her parents. Like, you really do – it really does become that, like, circle of life of your parents take care of you and then it comes to a certain point that you take care of your parents. That's just what your responsibility is. And so because I've seen that, I feel like I've adopted that mindset from the get. And my parents are, like, not old or, like, unable to do things. Yeah, they're not
burdensome on you at all.
Exactly. They are literally like, can you leave us alone? Like, we're fine. Yeah, like, go live.
We want to do our own thing for a bit. Yeah,
like, please leave us alone. And I'm like, are you sure you're okay? So that whole idea of putting a boundary on my parents for something, I don't know what that is. Like, boundaries for me looked like if I, you know, like, didn't want to come up to my parents' place, like, I couldn't say no. I felt guilty saying no. And that was a huge discussion whenever I was moving in with Fern. And I felt I set – whenever I was having the conversation with my parents – I mentioned that I felt like I had an obligation to come up every week. And that word was like, no bueno, was not, did not go over well. Cause they were like, you feel like you have an obligation to us.
Spend time with your family.
Yeah. And I meant it that I was like, I feel like I need to come up here every week. It's not like that it's a burden to spend time with my family, but when I am forced because I can't be down here. That
you bring into it.
Yeah, like because I'm not allowed to be down here 7 days a week. Instead of going up to see my family when I actually have the time to be present and whatever, I'm going up because, oh, it's Tuesday at 4 o'clock. I need to drive. So I even struggled with that for a really long time until like a boundary for me that I set was actually moving in. Like that was a
big
boundary.
That was awesome.
I think that was a big thing in my life.
You were so nervous, remember?
Oh my God, dude, I was so scared. We were
texting in the chat, and I was like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to be disowned. They're never going to talk to me again. And I know my mom's going to listen to this. She's going to be like, really? You thought that? You thought that we would do that? And I'd be like, yes.
That's not what your mom sounds like.
Yeah. Really? You really think that we talk like that? Yeah, and they were obviously amazing.
Wonderful,
which
as
made
they
me
always.
Kind of like – you know, but again, that's something that I also struggled at 32 to be like, no, I'm a grown adult. To take your therapist's words and be like, how old are
you? At your big old age, yeah.
At your big old age, I was 31 at the time, which was only like 6 months ago. But I was 31 and I was still freaking out being like, are my parents going to allow me to move in with my partner who I am eventually going to marry? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's... It just felt it's a really hard thing, I think, culturally. Like boundaries, like I used to laugh at that. I was like, what? A boundary? Here. Good luck.
Yeah. You know? I also was thinking about this while you were talking, is that this idea that you also kind of have a little version of your parents' voices inside your own head. And how inaccurate they can be sometimes. Because I was thinking about how you were like, oh, I can picture them now. They're going to be disowning me. They're going to be kicking me to the like front stoop. And they're going to say, like, be gone, you whore. And literally they were like, we're really excited for you and we support you because we trust you. And you're like, what the hell? Like, I've been like literally shitting my pants for 2 weeks.
Legit.
But I think that's such a – to bring it back to why I even started therapy in the beginning and why I think I struggle with some of these things now is because – we do sometimes let these like hypothetical little voices in our heads absolutely run amok and like create these alternative narratives. And I always think about this whenever I want to have a conversation with somebody, if like they've upset me or if like there's like a big conversation that needs to be had. And I always have to like unwork this like fake little person that I have in my brain.
Like,
I'm like,
you
I
have
no
a conversation ahead of time of having the conversation with the person. So I'm like, okay, I'm prepared for what you're going to say. And I know you're going to say this.
Yes.
And then they act totally different. And you're like,
and then I'm like, oh yeah, that makes way more sense.
Prepared.
They're like,
you're
really
going off script.
Person that like is very, has been kind to me for the whole time. But, and one thing again that I've worked on is like understanding why your brain does those things. And for me, it was learning that a lot of the stuff that our brain does, whether it serves us properly or not, is to protect us. And so always thinking about the worst case scenario is a survival mechanism. And it is a way to make sure that we're in a best case scenario to be able to protect ourselves if everything goes to blows and things are terrible. I think now in the 21st century, it like looks very different because we're not like fighting in the wilderness. We're like having weird text fights with like a friend or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like it translates very differently now. But now I'm trying to, whenever I'm confronted with those anxious thoughts, like really be super self-aware of like, thank you, brain. You're really trying to help me right now, but it's actually not what I need. And like, thank you. You at one point in my life, this might have been helpful, but right now it's not.
Yeah.
But another thing that I wanted to chat about when we talk about boundaries is something that I mean, it's very relevant right now on social media, especially a few months ago with the whole like Jonah Hill
situation. I was just thinking that. I know exactly where you're going with this.
Okay, perfect. Was like this, the internetification of therapy speech.
Yeah.
And how especially people that I don't feel like have gone to maybe an effective therapist or maybe have some stuff going on where they haven't really been able to fully take in what they're talking about. This like fake self-awareness, co-opting therapy speak.
Yeah.
And it's so relevant. I just saw this TikTok. I'm going to try to find it so I can send it to you. It was talking about this girl and she had three friends come to visit her from Florida, where she used to live, to New York, where she lives now. And they all had been saving for a long time. They weren't all in like a financial position. And the person living in New York that was hosting them was in one. So she was like, hey, I'm just so happy you guys can come up to visit me. I will buy all of our meals when we go out to take off some of the financial burden as an appreciation for you guys coming up all the way to New York to visit me. Maybe they're from California. It doesn't matter. So they come and she buys all the meals. And then as soon as the trip is over and they fly home, she never hears from them. Like she doesn't hear from them again.
Oh, what the fuck?
I know. And then she eventually kind of confronts them as like, hey, like I thought we had a really trip. Like kind of what's going on. And they go off on her about how her offering to buy their food was manipulation in order to control their actions and that she was like holding it over them. What and because I guess there were some things where they were always making fun of this kind of period in her life that was like 4 years ago where she was like really messy and they were always bringing it up. And so she was like, hey, like you're staying in my apartment and I'm buying all of your food. Like maybe you guys could just be nice to me. And shut they use that as her manipulating them to get them to behave the way that she wanted to or whatever. And it was just such a great example to me of the co-opting of therapy talk to like, you just didn't like that she was calling you out for being mean to mean to you. And so they turned it around as being like, you're actually a narcissist and you actually were manipulating us and the emotional burden of this relationship like no longer serves me, like all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, it's fucking
literally all of the words just being like
buzz. And it reminded me so much of the Jonah Hill situation.
I would be so pissed as well. Like if you're coming over to New York and I'm like, listen, I get that you guys aren't in a financial situation, financial position, and I am, and I want to treat you guys. I want you guys to have a great time, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then you start absolutely like bringing up a time in my life that was not so great.
She was
and then
in, like,
I'm
her,
like,
her mental
hey,
worst.
Can you guys not do that?
Hey. I'm about to get the check. Can you be nice to me for the next 10 minutes? And they're like, manipulator. I'm like, I think
that's insane.
I think something got caught in the blender. Like, I'm really confused.
Yeah.
So, and going into the Jonah Hill thing, I think it's so similar where it's like,
oh my God,
using the term boundary when you don't know what the fucking word means. Boundary is something for you, not for another person. You can't tell. And obviously we're like months behind the story. But I think it's so funny to watch the internet. Like, watch the internet. I'm a fucking geezer. Watch like TikToks and shit and people on the internet talk about when so they had a partner or a friend that was like putting up a boundary. I'm like, those aren't boundaries. You guys are using language you do not understand. That's not gaslighting. That's holding you accountable. You're not self-aware. Like, not everything is
it's a
narcissistic abuse.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sometimes the you're having a squabble with a friend and you guys are both kind of in the wrong simultaneously. You know what I mean?
I know. It's the Jonah Hill thing. I really was like, I was engrossed in it. I was in it.
Actually kind of upsetting because I think everyone really – I liked him.
I did too. And I watched his documentary on Netflix whatever it was, where he sat down with his therapist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really liked him.
It goes into the don't meet your heroes.
Yes, totally.
And I hate that that's a true thing, but I do feel like it's true.
I know.
I haven't really met any of my heroes, and I think that that's fine. I did. I once met David Suzuki, and he was in a bad mood, and that was actually a good example of that. But I still love him. I don't care. He can be.
Yeah. I feel like I would love to meet Stanley Tucci, but that's probably it.
Oh, I think he would live up to the hype, to be honest.
I absolutely think that he would live up to the hype.
I just have this weird thing with Stanley Tucci where I just know he smells so good.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
But like I think sometimes because I was on a plane recently coming back from Italy and he has like a featured show where it's like discovering Italy. Searching for Italy.
It's the best.
And even just the thumbnail, I was just like, he has something.
Yeah.
He just has it.
He's got
– he just has that it factor.
Can I just say, like, literally 2 hours ago, we're sitting on the couch.
Yes.
And Fern turns to me. He's like, this is for you. And it was like Stanley Tucci, I don't know, 30 years ago in a white wife beater and black jeans.
It's called a wife pleaser now, actually.
But wife pleaser, sorry, in the white undershirt.
Oh, God.
And in with his like muscles just absolutely popping, his, you know, hairline absolutely receding. And I looked at that and I was like,
I know exactly what picture you're talking about.
That's my man.
You know what's so funny about Stanley Tucci? Now that we're completely off the talk of boundaries, it was boring me. Now that we're talking about Stanley Tucci, I can't return.
Yeah. We'll get back to it, but we just need to finish off. Somebody that looks
absolutely better with age. Can we actually go on a full tangent? Is that your number one like hall pass?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Him I love, and like, the big
dramatic breath that you just took.
Yeah. Because you know who else I was thinking about? Is. Jeff Goldblum.
Okay, don't even get me started. Obviously, that's on mine too. I have actually, you know what's really funny about this?
Fern just bought sunglasses and I was like, tangent? You need to buy them. They look like Jeff Goldblum. He's like, do I get these? And I was like, yeah, they look like Jeff Goldblum.
Fucking love Jeff Goldblum.
He's
unreal. You know what's very strange is that here are like my three.
Okay, talk to me.
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Adrian Brody.
Okay.
Adam Driver. There's...
Oh.
And then like Diego, and then also Pedro Pascal.
Okay, yeah, but Adrian Brody like, and Adam Driver kind of give the same vibe. It's like the honestly, nose, it's kind the of hair, Jeff Goldblum it's too. The...
They're all tall, lanky, large nosed, striking, weird guys.
Yeah,
and not for anything, but Andres could not be more of the opposite of that.
I get that. Yeah.
For sure. There's something that's really hilarious about that for me.
I love that. Anyway, the fact that we were talking about boundaries and then we got onto Stanley Tucci, I'm sure his wife would probably set a boundary and be like, I would prefer...
No, she gets it. She gets it. She knows exactly what she knows exactly what she said. Stanley Tucci.
Exactly. This is what I also wanted to talk about is... oh my gosh, now I forgot it. Can I tell you a story about something? You know how you're talking about like you have a tough time with your parents? So I recently got a tattoo when I was in Spain.
Yes.
And I got one. Thank you. I got one. Fern got two. And we sent it to my family. We have a little group chat. My parents, me and Fern. We sent it to them. And my mom's reaction was, are you ready for this?
Uh-oh.
Yikes. What do they mean?
Oh, you.
And so, and they're so tiny. My brother is like literally has like full sleeves, like has like a leg tattoo. Yeah, my sister-in-law, all of it. I have my tattoo is lit. I have two, and it's an inch and a half. And she said, yikes.
What do they have meanings? Or are they
yeah, so I got a moon and a lightning bolt because the moon is representative of your emotions.
Yes.
So like your moon sign is usually about that. The moon affects your emotions a lot.
What is your moon sign?
I'm a Virgo moon.
That makes sense.
So I'm a very emotional person. I'm a big crier. And I got the lightning bolt because I think that my emotional, like how emotional I am and how much I care is like actually my strength. And I got the lightning bolt for that. But we sent it to my mom and she said, yikes, what do they mean?
Dude, the
and
yikes then, harsh. I'm giving her a hard time for the yikes.
the yikes, it killed us. We kind of like started laughing that's about incredible. It. But I was also like, she's never going to be like, oh my God, that's so great. She's just not going to be that person that wouldn't get a tattoo.
That's fine.
And then we kept talking. And then my dad entered the chat and he was like, very interesting stuff. And I was like, perfect.
Okay.
Right? And so I was like, obviously very excited about my tattoo. I was so hyped about it. And then we sent it to my parents and it like diluted my excitement because I was like, oh my gosh, should I have done that? Was that a dumb thing? Even though I already have three other tattoos. Yeah, like,
and one of them is with your mom.
Exactly.
So it's fine. We're fine. Yeah.
Logically, of course, this is all fine. But at the same time, still at 32, I was like,
Are they disappointed in me?
Yeah. There's like, not that I think that they are disappointed, but I was like, oh, they're not as excited about my tattoo as I am.
Which it also is fine.
It's totally fine.
They don't have to be.
Exactly. But that's a thing that.
But you want them to be.
I feel like that's something that is. Yeah. I feel like that's something that doesn't really go away. And I think that does play into. It's kind of like when it's hard to set boundaries with your family because you're like, I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want you to feel like if I'm doing something and that means that I can't spend time with you. I don't want you to feel disappointed or like not as excited or whatever. And that's where that comes. That's where I feel like I do have a tough time.
I see.
And yeah, I haven't gotten to that part with my therapist yet. So we'll keep you.
Haven't gotten to that chapter yet.
Haven't gotten to that chapter quite yet.
It'll come.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. She's still so new. She's still so new. But
yes.
I do think it's like learning how to set boundaries and learning all of that stuff is genuinely just a lifelong like not battle. Journey. No, yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like you're constantly learning about it because if you think about it, where you are in different places of your life, like think about where you are in your 20s and you're setting a boundary being like, I don't want to come home on this Saturday night because I want to go out with my friends. Like I'm going to spend this week doing what I want to do, whatever your boundary is. Right.
Yeah.
And then as you get older, your priorities shift. Absolutely. So then maybe you get into a relationship that takes precedent, that takes priority over that and all of that stuff. So you are constantly learning how to set those new boundaries in your life. Mm-hmm. And then never mind when you add kids into the mix and you have to even have those things set in place with your family members of how you want them to treat your kids and how you want them to, like, if your kid says no to a hug, like.
That's a really interesting one.
Do you know what I mean? Like all of those little things, like don't touch my kid on his face. Don't like whatever, all of the things. And you have to become so strong-willed in that. So I don't think that we'll ever get to a point that I'm like, I'm fucking amazing at setting a boundary. Like, I don't know if I'll ever get there. I think I'll get better at it.
And I think that's the one thing that I also want to get out of my head. And I think that's so indicative of like our culture where it is right now is like the instant gratification, like needing to be good at something immediately.
Yeah.
And not understanding that a lot of things are just muscles. Like, like anything, learning how to play chess, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a practice. Yeah. Yoga, practice. It's not like you all of a sudden take five classes and you're just done. Yeah. Like it's an ongoing thing. Meditation, any of these things that we want to implement into our lives.
I also think
new communication styles or showing up in your life differently also is the same thing. It's just a practice. And there's going to be days where you enter that day and you're going to be like, fuck yeah, like I got this, like absolutely. Yeah. And then there's other days where you're going to enter it and you're going to be like, I biffed that hard. Like I really did not show up good.
Yeah.
That was bad. Stanley Tucci wouldn't be proud of me for that one.
No, he would not.
And that's okay too. I think that's where I'm saying that out loud more to myself than anything because I think I recently watched this video of – Bradley Cooper talking about how he learned French in 6 months because he spends part of the year in France now. And his biggest thing that he learned as somebody that is kind of a perfectionist in certain – or no, I'm not that I'm a perfectionist, but I have a hard time ego-wise being bad at things. Mm. And so Spanish has been – like my entire 20s I've been trying to become more fluent.
You'll
Spanish.
Pick it up. Honestly, after 3 weeks, I feel like I'm even more fluent.
I have no doubt about it, but I still have mental limitations where – I am so deeply embarrassed to be wrong. And when I watched his video, it was so eye-opening for me. You know when something's just like things just fucking click and all of a sudden you're like, that makes so much sense. Why have I ever not been thinking of it that way? He just said, my goal is not to be like a perfect grammatical speaker. My goal is to communicate. And nobody is going to look at me and expect me to communicate with absolute perfect grammar. And honestly, even then I was thinking, even as an English speaker, I make mistakes grammatically all the time. So to hold myself to a standard where I need to move to a new country and learn a new language without making any mistakes, it's a farce. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's such a stupid, it's such a stupid bar to hold it for myself.
Can I share something with you after too?
My goal is to communicate, not to be perfect. And that was very helpful for me. And I need to carry that into other aspects of my life where it's okay for me to not be amazing at something. I tried to play tennis for the first time this weekend and I wasn't that good. And I was just trying to have fun. And a few years ago, it would have literally like
crushed
ruined
you,
my day. Like I would have been like, fuck, I hate that I'm not good at this. And people try their whole lives to be good at tennis and they still suck. So
yeah. And you have, honestly, the best coach that you could possibly have.
Yeah, I'm going to be fine.
Can I share a story with you, actually, that make you feel better when you are in Spain? So I was really, really trying hard. I find Spanish is a little bit easy for me to pick up because I have a French background. Like, I have the background in French.
Those romantic languages.
So it's a little bit, like, not that I know the word, but I understand what they're saying because it's all rooted in Latin, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
But I found...
And the sentence structures are quite similar.
Yeah. I found that people in Spain were actually so freaking helpful. And if you just showed that you were trying, like I went into this one store in Barcelona and I was like looking at these rings and the woman asked me, like, do you speak English or Spanish? And I said, like, I speak a little bit of Spanish, but and I understand it a bit.
Yeah.
But I need you to speak slowly. That's right. It. And she was like, amazing. Mm-hmm. So she's I said, but then I was like in English. I was like, yeah, I speak English, blah, blah, blah. She spoke to me in Spanish as she was explaining things. She spoke to me in Spanish and then she directly translated in English. Amazing. So she would say everything twice.
That's so sweet.
These rings are gold plated. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
This is blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, how much is this? She's like, it's this. Yeah, je te blie, blah. Blah. She did it for everything. Like that's literally very kind everything.
Of her. Holy shit. Yeah.
And then we'd go to a coffee shop down the street and I was like, oh, I'll have this, this. And they asked me a question and I was like, sorry. And then she repeated in English and I was like, oh, okay. And then I asked, I was like, sorry, what did you say? I just want to learn what that phrase is so that I know for next time. And she would say it slowly. She was like, no problem. And they were so excited that you were even trying.
That's so nice.
And I found that everywhere. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, it was just in Barcelona where it's a lot of English speakers. I found that in Alicante, like, we'd go to this coffee shop and they were so kind about it. We were in all of these places that are really Spanish speakers. And we did speak a lot of Spanish. Like, whenever we mm-hmm. ordered stuff, whenever we did any of that, and we showed that we tried. And we'd show that, like, okay, this is, I don't understand what you're saying here, but not in a rude way of like, what? We kind of were like, sorry.
English, please.
Yeah, we were trying to understand and they were so freaking helpful. So, and France, I did that a lot too back in the day, but it's like, if you just show that you're trying, they will think about someone coming to you and trying to speak English. Yeah. Like, you would be like, oh my gosh, speak like, slowly. Pardon? What do you need? Yeah, I mean, exactly. You'd be so happy. I totally agree. Yeah. So I don't know. I wouldn't be hard on yourself about speaking a different language at all. Like it's you're using this wild part of your brain. But yeah. Anyway, that was my little tangent. We have gone on so many tangents in this boundary.
This is just a tangentless or it's a boundaryless episode. We've gone across the bounds of different topics.
Can I also just say I feel like sometimes boundaries make us uncomfortable, so it feels really nice to talk about like easy things too.
Yeah.
Like I think that the topic is a little bit uncomfortable because both of us are learning and we're not perfect 100%. At it. We don't know what we're doing with it.
And there's absolutely.
And so I think it's comforting, which just goes to also show you like you when something gets uncomfortable, you mask it with a little bit of comedy, a little bit of Stanley Tucci's and the Jeff Goldblum's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you go on these tangents so that you're comfortable and then you can go back into it. But anyway,
yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's hard also, and I'm sure a lot of people that have way bigger platforms like than this are also as like, uncomfortable about this, or way more so, sorry.
Yeah.
Is like, I have a lot of boundaries up internet-wise in terms of what I want to share because I just don't feel comfortable talking about things that are like very specific examples. So I'm like very vague and it's like way less interesting to hear. So I apologize to anyone that's like, okay, what's this fucking example? Because I'm like beating around a fence that's around the bush, but it's just necessary for me as somebody that does have a small, like, that's what I'm saying, like a very small platform. And the people that do listen to this are friends and family. So it's like, it's almost more important to be for delicate. Sure. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
So I'm just putting that out there as well, that I'm like, yeah, I don't spill the tea. And maybe one of these days I'm going to absolutely be down for it. But today is just not that day.
I think that the thing is too, like we do this with celebrities when they, and it is like I think this gets into it too, but it's like, they share so much, so when they want to hold something private like, or they want to hold...
You feel owed.
We feel owed with that stuff, but there are, like, you know, human beings who can choose what they want to share.
Mm-hmm.
And last thing I'll say on this, there is a woman, and I'm going to send you her TikTok. I'm sure you've seen it, but this woman is, like, notorious. She's getting absolutely reamed on TikTok for being an oversharer and, like... in an unsafe way. Like she's sharing like the literally the address of where she works and the times that she is working. She shared to the point that she talked about a story of like how her house almost got burglarized. And then in a follow-up video talked about how our security system works. And people are literally commenting being like, babe, you're oversharing. Like this
you're doxing yourself.
Yeah. So then she was like, I just started work at this new place. Like, this is the address, like 1122 Glenwood or whatever. I work on Thursday at 2 p.m. And people have commented being like,
is it a bit? It sounds like a bit.
No, it's not a bit. Like, she's actually just, like, a little dumb.
You know what and she needs? Was boundaries.
Exactly. And she was sharing. She was like, I told everyone that I would share the first 2 days that I'm working, and then I'm not going to be sharing that anymore. People are like,
well, you've already shared it.
That's fine. You already told us where you're working, and you also told us, like, the days. Like, oh, what? No.
That's so, not a smart individual, unfortunately.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so, so, so bad. Okay, so I will definitely send it to you. Can I also just
– the last thing – this has nothing to do with anything. What are your signs again? What's your sun?
I'm a Gemini, Virgo, Virgo. So sun, Gemini.
You're Gemini, Virgo, Virgo.
Yeah.
Wow. That's fascinating. I wish I knew more about what that meant.
So I know a lot that like – I know a lot of –
we should do an episode about it.
I know a lot of times when people first meet me, I come across – so this is what I kind of know about – this is what I know about my signs.
Okay.
My sun is in Gemini, which is very like – it's your sun is like who you are to your core. Mm-hmm. So whenever you're with like your closest friends and your like your best friends, your best family, that's the appearance that you that's who you are. So right. Like I'm outgoing, I'm communicative, I'm like mm-hmm. I'm like witty and blah blah blah, all these things. Like
yes.
You're this outgoing, charismatic person. But when I first meet people, which is your rising. So it's mm-hmm. like kind of who you present to the world. I'm right. a Virgo. It often is in how you dress. Like it's how you present yourself. So a lot of people I've met who are into astrology are like, I didn't think you were a Gemini. I thought you were – I understand you being a Virgo rising because
I see, you give off
a very
initially.
Like reserved kind of like – you're not really giving too much. Right. And I'm like
– and then once you give, you give.
Exactly.
Right.
And then your Virgo, my Virgo moon, it's how you process your emotions, I think. So me being a Virgo moon, Virgos are very analytical. They're very organized. They're very like meticulous. So I think, and this makes sense for me, is I intellectualize my emotions. Mm. So I'm like, I'm feeling this way because of X, Y, Z.
Yeah, you intellectualize. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So instead of like, exactly. So that's where my Virgo
That's why it took you so long to go to therapy because you're like, what is a therapist going to teach me? I already have it figured out.
I know everything, like, bitch. Okay. Sweetie. I'll therapize you. Okay. Like, give me
I'll
the money.
I'll send you the bill. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I think that a Virgo moon is. It's your... Okay. Think what's crazy is Fern is a Gemini sun, a Virgo rising. So we're the same. Oh, and yeah. then he's an Aries moon. So the only difference in our top three are our moons. It's how we handle our emotions.
Is that crazy? Fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't know Andres because I don't know when he was born. I just know I'm an Aries sun.
Yeah.
I'm a Leo moon.
Oh.
And I'm a Cancer rising.
I don't know much about Cancer. They're a Leo moon.
They're like soft. No, they're like soft, sensitive, warm, gentle. So I come off like pretty soft, I guess, is what it's saying. Yeah. I don't know if that's necessarily
true.
You're a
Leo
moon? Yeah, dude.
Are you pretty outward with your emotions?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm like, I can't hide my emotions.
Yeah, then you're like, yeah. I would say that's very Leo. And if any like astrologers or people who are into that know way more than we do, which is like literally nothing. If you're listening to this and you're like,
yeah,
you're
dude, tell
so
us because
wrong, please tell us because I love this.
I mean, I have my CoStar, which I know some people don't like love this app, but I do. We should go over it again another time, maybe more in depth if we have somebody that like is good at this. But I do think that it makes sense because it just says how expressive, idealistic,
yeah,
like my like emotions are.
And yeah,
that's very true.
That makes sense.
I'm
Leos are
expressive.
Very like. They're the lion. They're supposed to be the center of attention, like all of that stuff. So,
I'm definitely an Aries. I think I'm like, my brother and I are both Aries, and I'm like, we're both so Aries. My brother
you are
almost
so
even
Aries.
More so. And if not, we would be Leo. Like Mike. I need to find out his time of birth.
Yeah.
Was.
See, I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
my twin flame.
Have you looked more into human design?
No, but I was talking to Andres about it, and he thought it was absolutely fascinating. So it's something that I want to dig more into. We need to find like an expert and get them on the pod because otherwise we're just going to ramble and have no idea what the fuck.
If you're an expert or you know an expert, please let us know because we would love to have you on the podcast.
I also want to talk about like astrogeography and shit too. I think
cartography?
Yeah, that's what it is.
I'm sure something crosses in Spain for you guys.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I feel it.
Yeah, same.
Okay. But yeah, we're going to only have a few more episodes until we end up doing this in Spain, which is like so crazy to think about.
That's going to be insane. I can't wait. I'm like so excited for you guys, but also so sad selfishly, but
No, my God, same. I'm also sad, very sad.
We'll just have to figure it out. We'll make long distance work.
Yeah. But I love you.
Love you.
Our big friendship. Okay, let's chat soon. Well, actually, I'm going to see you in about like an hour. So I'll see you in an hour
for soccer.
This has been Accidental Friends with Lane and Kristen. This podcast was created by us and produced by Chloe Jackson. Thank you so much for listening. You can check us out on Instagram, which is Accidental Friends Podcast. You can check us out on our TikTok, which is Accidental Friends. And please don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave us a review. We love you, and we'll see you on Thursday.